Professor, how are you this morning?
I'm all right.
So did anything come from the meeting between the British Prime Minister and Biden last week on the issue of use of long-range weapons in Russia?
Well, the expectation, nothing has been said official that I've seen, although I've been in the mountains camping for the last 3 days, to be fair. But nothing official has come out. What I've heard from the grapevine is that Biden's going to allow a deep strike under certain conditions. Essentially, he's going to allow it with non-U.S. weapons, with British weapons.
How does that change things? I mean, if that's going to happen, and say, if it does happen, when will it actually start happening?
Second part, you know, as soon as they can plan it, which could be pretty immediate. The first part is it really depends on a lot of other scenarios, right? Just because you're allowed now to use these long-range, say, Storm Shadow cruise missiles or other things that we might have in the arsenal, doesn't mean you'll use them in the right way, and we just don't know what they're planning, right? Like, so sending a bunch of these things to Moscow could seriously change things. Would they send them to Moscow? Probably not. They're more likely to use them to push back airfields in Russia and try to force the Russians to back off the bombers and the other platforms that they use to launch long-range strike into Ukraine. But we just have to wait and see. But those would be the sort of the two things, right? Like, one scenario is that you use these things to do something dramatic, right? Like hit Moscow or hit St. Petersburg, oil refineries or something like that. Or you use it to harass airfields and push the Russian launch point further and further into Russia.
So, I mean, obviously two different scenarios would merit two different responses, but how much of what Putin says is, like, the concern, my first thing that came to mind is that all this talk about Putin, you know, thinking about using tactical, like, nuclear weapons, like, very targeted. And the second element is, you know, considering it as an act of war, because he would say that NATO would have to be involved in using the weapons, so that would be a NATO act of war against Russia. Is that all rhetoric, or is that real?
So the Ukrainians, you know, hand wave this, because they've been saying from the beginning, and I tend to agree with them, that we've been saying this from day one, and that Putin hasn't acted on it, right? Again, it comes down to what you believe about Putin. If you believe that Putin's not crazy, you can believe that he's evil and all sorts of other things, but he's not crazy, then escalating to nuclear weapons risks everything that he's trying to do here. It risks his military power, because he knows that if he does that, he's going to draw NATO into the fight directly. And if you look at how well Ukraine is doing, with all the setbacks, right, imagine how much better NATO is going to do against the Russian military, which has shown itself to be, you know, quite hollow in many ways. And so if he does that, he loses his power base. And so most analysts are looking at this and saying, we don't actually think this is going to happen. He's not crazy. He doesn't really want Poland, right? He doesn't really want to nuke London. And so we can push him harder, and he's not going to go there.
So, I mean, but if NATO had to get involved, I mean, you're assuming that they would. That's a pretty dramatic escalation, though.
Of course it is, and that's precisely why it's unlikely to happen. That's why he's been very careful so far. He has lots of, you know, semi-decent reasons in international law that he could be attacking, you know, NATO supply bases in Poland or in Germany already.
Right.
And he's choosing not to do it, right? He's choosing not even to harass things. You have to think about this, right? He knows where the roads are and where the rail lines are that are bringing things from Poland,
right,
you know, into Ukraine. He's not hitting them in any consistent way, because there's threat out there that says if you hit NATO, you're gonna face an escalation yourself, right? It's not just Putin who escalates against us. We would escalate against him, and he bears risk also.
We're talking with Matthew Schmidt, professor of political science at the University of New Haven here in Bryan & Company. Two questions here. One is, to what degree, if at all, could Russia proceed in this conflict if they didn't have the help of North Korea, China, Iran?
That's a great question, Brian. The answer is for a bit, but not at the rate that they're going. It would be a very different conflict without that kind of help. Russia is likely to hit an equipment sort of bottleneck in the next year, in 2025, and they would have hit an ammunition bottleneck if they didn't have particularly North Korean ammunitions coming in. So that agreement with North Korea and with China, those are huge deals, especially with China bringing in the microchips and allowing them to continue to build their long range missiles and up their drone production is a big deal. And then North Korea is producing sort of the brute force artillery shells that they need to keep up their 20-to-1 ratio against the Ukrainians, which is really what's dominating the battlefield.
Right. Is this whole like Cold War-ish global balance of power why these countries are helping Russia? I mean, I don't wholly understand it.
I think the best way to frame it is that they don't believe in a unipolar world. They have a view that says there needs to be, as a matter of course, multiple powers in the world that can balance each other out. And that Russia and China are the major ones that have to do this, and North Korea has to align with them in order to, and Iran, in order to survive. Otherwise, eventually the U.S. will do to, you know, Iran or do to North Korea the kind of regime change that it did in Iraq or that it threatened to do in Libya and places like that. If you look at Putin and Xi's rhetoric, if you look at the speeches and break down what they're saying, they're constantly referring to Libya, which most Americans have forgotten, or Iraq or Afghanistan, and saying this is what happens if the U.S. is left as the unipolar power in the world.
Huh. Okay. Sorry about the glitch at the top here. We got to run. Professor, great to talk to you. As always, have a good day of classes.
Thanks, you too. Bye. All right.